show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Thank you for downloading this, the Cliffo and Gabby podcast, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you. It's a big podcast today. I got a bit fanboy with Leanne Moriarty.
It's true, you did. You were
the writer.
Loving life talking to her.
She's the mind behind Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers.
Both with Nicole Kidman.
Both with Nicole Kidman.
But also huge stars in both of those shows.
Meryl freaking Streep, mate.
Mm. Yep.
Does it get any bigger?
No.
Melissa
McCartney.
Reese Witherspoon. But yeah. Meryl, mate. She's Queen Meryl.
Yeah.
Is in Big Little Lies. All that came from the brilliant mind of Leanne Moriarty. So hear that in the podcast. Plus, also today, we had listener Katie face her fear of clowns.
Cliffo the Clown,
that
everybody.
Was fun. It's the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Thank you for downloading.
You may have heard of and have hopefully watched their two biggest shows over the last year or so, Big Little Lies and also Nine Perfect Strangers, which is only half out at the moment on Amazon, with Nicole Kidman starring in both. And it's actually all based off books written by this very talented author, Leanne Moriarty. She joins us right now. How are you, Leanne?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
I'm particularly so excited to chat to you because I've watched both of those shows that Gabby's talking about. And I'm probably two-thirds of the way through your new novel, Apples Never Fall. I'm a Moriarty man. And I'm probably going to get a bit fanboyish. So I apologize straight up, Leanne.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
How do you write so well? Like, how did you discover this talent that you so clearly have? Because your stories, I actually worry about your mind a little bit because they're so incredible, these stories. I'm like, what goes through this woman's mind? But how did this become a thing in your life, your writing, and how did it get you to where you are today?
Oh, when I was little, I used to love to write stories, and so did my younger sister. And our father actually used to commission us to write stories for him. So he gave us our first publishing deals. And I knew that I always wanted to have a job in writing. And so I ended up in advertising copywriting. And then one day I got a call from my sister, who's the author, Jacqueline Moriarty, to tell me that her novel, which was called Feeling Sorry for Celia, had been accepted for publication.
Wow.
So it was sibling rivalry that pushed me to write my first novel all those years ago.
Oh, that's amazing that you have her to thank. That's fabulous.
I do.
Speaking of your advertising background, though, that's one of your first jobs, and you got to write the back of the Sultana brand box. What does that involve?
I'm trying to remember now. I think that they must have given me a brief and research about the health benefits of Sultana brand. And I can remember writing, a healthy head start to the day is a healthy head start to life.
Wonderful. What a catchy line.
I feel like going and buying a box of Sultana brand right now.
I do quite like Sultana brand.
Let's fast forward to now. Seeing actresses, mainly actresses, strong female characters are a really big part of what you write. But seeing people like Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy,
Reese Witherspoon,
these people acting out your work must be quite surreal. How much have you had to do with the transforming your work from the page to the screen?
Well, in both cases, I've just handed it over. I was asked if I wanted to write the screenplay, but for me, when I sit down to write a book, I don't know how it's going to end. So part of the pleasure for me in writing is thinking to myself, I wonder what's going to happen.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I love that. It's a scary way to write.
It's
a fun way to write, but also scary. And so I have no interest in writing the adaptation because I already know what's going to happen. So in each case, I've handed it over and been very lucky and thrilled with the results.
Well, they've both been absolutely fantastic. I have noticed a bit of a link between the two. Well, the obvious link is Nicole Kidman. She's in both of the TV adaptions. But also, the starting credits to both your shows are very similar. Have a listen to them both here.
Okay.
This is Big Little Lies first. So good. And this is Nine Perfect Strangers.
similar. Is that a thing that's been done on purpose, do you think, Leanne, to kind of link them back to each other?
I actually didn't realise until you did that how very similar they are. You're right. You'd have to ask the director. I don't know, but you're right. They do sound similar.
Oh no! Yeah. As soon as I started watching Nine Perfect Strangers, I was like, "Oh, this is similar. I bet it's a nod back to Big Little Lies," and I'm going to say it is.
Yeah, let's go with that. That's a Gabby exclusive. That's a Gabby exclusive. Quickly before we let you go, I have to ask this because it blows my mind. Like as a new reader to your work, Apples Never Fall. Mm. It's the first of your books that I've picked up, and I'm just adoring. It's scaring the hell out of me what you said, that you start writing a book not knowing how it's going to end, because I'm two-thirds of the way through and I'm finding myself reading, just one more chapter, because I want to find out what's going to happen next. So how do you sleep at night not knowing how these books are going to end? Like, it is such a risky way to create your work.
I know. So with this one, a woman has disappeared.
Joy.
Joy Delaney. And I didn't know where she was either. So I guess as I'm writing, I'm just thinking to myself, maybe she's here or maybe she's there, or and just working it out as I go. So it's exhilarating when I finally work out, I think this will work.
And before we let you go, who's more successful, you or your sister?
So there are actually three sisters. So there are six of us, and three of us are authors. And, of course, we're all equally successful.
No, they don't have Nicole Kidman in their TV shows.
They didn't write on the back of a Sultana brand box. Thank you very much.
That's true. They didn't.
get around it, guys. This woman's name is Leanne Moriarty. Apples Never Fall is available now. I cannot recommend this book highly enough. And you can stream Nine Perfect Strangers on Amazon Prime Video. Leanne, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It was really lovely to talk to you.
Fear. It's the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind. Cliffo and Gabby's Face Your Fears, only on Hit.
We have been facing our fears along with others who have opted in as well, because it's healthy to face your fears, we found out. It's healthy, it gives you courage, it gives you resilience, it has a lot of benefits. So Cliffo faced his fear of going up 18 floors and going onto a balcony.
Can't do hotel room balconies. That was a big moment.
It was a big moment.
For me.
And you succeeded on standing on that balcony. Mm. My fear is being chased, so Cliffo, being the friend he is, chased me, which scared the crap out of me. And we have had others opt in to face their fears too.
Listen to Ty, snakes, Christian Hull, balloons. Today, Katie and clowns. So Katie, listening to the show.
Yep.
Originally hails from the USA. She said to us, "I've got a fear of clowns, Joss." And we're like, "Hey, we can help you with that." So we chose me up as a clown.
Yep.
And it's actually been quite convenient because we've got renovations happening in the building we work in at the moment.
Yes.
See any of our videos over the last few months? That's not the style we're going for. The
pink bats in the background.
So we were able to actually cover me with tarps and drop sheets.
There's been drop sheets everywhere all the time, so it made sense to have one in studio.
So I was actually in studio when you were chatting away to Katie. She had no idea that I was here. And then I popped out as Cliffo the Clown. Enjoy.
So Cliffo's just gone to the loo, but he'll be back in a sec. Where does your fear of clowns come from?
I don't know. I don't like the dead cold eyes and the smiling face.
Right.
It's scary. I don't like the music that joins them. I don't like them standing there menacingly.
Where does it come from? Were you a kid and you got this fear, or is it an adult thing?
Oh, well, we had a harvest festival when I was really young at school. They would do like a thing in America around Halloween where they have people come and like play games and have clowns and things like that. But there was this one clown that would just sit there every single year that I was really young and just sit there and look at people. So that was really unsettling, but I think it's set in more as an adult, like, that's really weird. That's creepy. And he had that big painted smile on and he would just sit there and
one clown has ruined them all for you.
Oh, I'm Cliffo the Clown! I've come to haunt your dreams! I've got that cold, dead smile!
actually. This can't be too bad, can it? I don't have the face paint on or anything.
No, it's not too bad.
You don't have cold, dead eyes. You have nice, happy, smiley eyes.
We thought we'd just ease you into it with, you know, like just the hair and the nose. Oh, I lost the nose in your grand reveal. But anyway, we thought, well, that's what the psychologist said. You need to ease yourself into, you know, facing your fears. So you're welcome.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Cliffo and Gabby. It's great.
So welcome. So welcome, Katie. You did it.
You faced your fears. Yes. I think it was more the fright of you jumping out of under a drop sheet than anything that got up.
It was quite the jump.
Very, very dramatic.
We got it on slow-mo. We filmed it. We got it on tape.
I never thought we would get this one. I was feeling like maybe this is the one that would get us, but we have tracked down someone who used to be Amish. Her name is Emma Gingerich, and she used to be part of the least modern and uneducated Amish people on the planet. Her words, not ours. She joins us right now. How are you, Emma?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Really excited to hear from you. Props to producer Brooke for tracking you down and getting you on the show. Like Gabby said, I didn't think we'd get someone today, but this is fantastic. So you used to be Amish. And when I think of Amish people, I think of like bonnets, overheads, very simple plain clothing, you know, plowing.
Not a lot of technology.
Plowing a paddock by hand, that kind of thing. Is the stereotype of Amish people what the life is actually like?
Yeah, I mean, we travel by horse and buggy and the women stay at home and do the cooking and cleaning and raising the little kids.
So at what point during your existence as an Amish person did you realize there was more to the world than what you were experiencing?
I was around 15 years old when I realized that I would like to leave the Amish. So little by little, I began planning it. And when I turned 18, I was finally able to get free.
Wow. How was the transition into, for lack of a better term, normal life for you?
It was really difficult. There was a culture shock. I didn't know much English. I was very shy. And come to realize it was way harder to make money than I thought it would be. Wow. Or everything was expensive and I didn't know because I never handled money in my life.
So what language did you speak when you were part of the Amish community?
It's a mixture of Dutch and German.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of the Amish own language.
Oh.
Did you have to learn English?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So what are you doing now? How long have you been out and what's life like now for you?
I've been out for 15 years and I just had my first baby.
Oh, wow.
Congrats.
Last month. Yeah, thank you. But life has been getting better and better. I would say the last 5 years is when I really started feeling like maybe I'm on the right path. Like it took 10 years for me to adjust.
Wow.
Wow.
And what do you think it was that brought you that happiness? Was it meeting someone or was it just like a work-life thing? Or what brought you happiness after that 10 years?
After that 10 years, I started going to counseling and I realized how brainwashed I had been all these years.
Wow.
And I didn't know how to undo everything on my own. Like it was an emotional thing. So once I started counseling and I let go of my family, and that helped tremendously.
You, producer Brooks, just written me a note. You've written a book. It's called Runaway Amish Girl, The Great Escape. So check that out. Emma, who escaped her life as part of an Amish community and created her own life. Thank you so much for your openness and honesty this morning, Emma. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This is Guidance Gabby.
This is Guidance Gabby, where you can write in with your problem that you'd like guidance on, and we get everyone to help you out. Not just me, but I claim it. But you can write into at Cliffo and Gabby on Instagram, Facebook, whichever one, and let us know what your question is, and we might bring it to the show. Today's is from Simon, and this is a really interesting one that I actually don't know how to answer. Dear Guidance Gabby, I'm a single father and widower with a gorgeous daughter who is just on the cusp of being a teenager. Raising a daughter by myself has always had its challenges, but the biggest so far is not far away, her first period. I'm not uncomfortable talking to her about it, but I think she would get more out of talking to a woman in case she has any questions. We have no female family that live close by, so I'm not sure what to do. Who do I turn to? Simon.
Oh my God, that's
a meaty one, isn't it? Because
Simon, I feel for you first up.
And that's so great of Simon to be comfortable talking to his daughter about these things, because obviously you have to talk to her about these things. You have to have that communication open. But he's right. There are questions that he probably couldn't answer because he wouldn't have the experience of it to be able to draw from.
I think if you identify as a particular gender, I think growing up and going through puberty and all that, it's great to have strong role models of that gender
totally
around you no matter what. You
know? Totally.
If you identify as, like I say, a particular gender, it's great to have a strong role model by your side. And Simon obviously identifies that, you know, that role model is not there in his daughter's life. And that is a pickle, particularly with no family.
Close by.
Close by.
131060, if you've got any guidance for Simon here, who is there someone in the community or someone he can turn to help in this situation when it comes to talking to, educating his daughter, even just being that person his daughter can turn to ask questions? Who is that? Who is that person? Who can you turn to in this situation when it does come to period chat?
Yeah, I think you read his whole letter out, did you? That there's no partner or anything in his life as well, obviously. So.
No, said single father, yeah.
Okay, 131060, if you have a suggestion on how Simon can help out his teenage daughter, if this is a bridge you've had to cross before, maybe is there there's support services in the community as well? I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
But we'd love to help Simon out. So 131060 if you have a suggestion. Sarah, do you have some advice for Simon?
Yes, I do. So I'm thinking that he should go to her school. Well, first ask her what her favourite teacher is, female teacher, and then go to the school and just probably have a conversation like when he picks her up or something and just discuss, you know, the issue that he's having.
Right, and then maybe that teacher can pull her aside.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know I've had some really nice teachers that I've, you know, had really good conversations with, and I think that would be a really good idea.
That's really great. I mean, he could start with a principal, deputy principal. Do you know what I mean? Just go, hey, or even the child, his daughter, who do you like? And
yeah, you want a teacher they like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But then, I can't see the school not supporting that.
Yeah,
is where I'm going. But 131060, Tess is here. Morning, Tess.
Good morning.
Do you have some guidance for Simon, Tess, on how to get his daughter educated when it comes to periods?
Yeah, well, I've just recently gone through the same thing. My daughter's 14 and I've had 3 boys and 1 girl.
Right, okay.
And I took even though I'm comfortable with it, I wanted her to talk to somebody that wasn't a parent.
Right.
To get her started. So I took her to a place called True, and they help women with reproductive and all that sort of stuff, and they help young girls to understand it and to get through it.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're all women doctors and nurses, and that there's no men that actually go there.
And they have all the answers.
And so what's the organization again? It's called True.
T-R-U-E. Yeah.
Fantastic. I didn't even know that something like that existed.
We'll send that through to Simon.
Yeah.
That's really handy, Tess. Mm. Thank you. 131060, Natalie's next. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Natalie. Do you have some guidance here for Simon about talking to his daughter before her first period comes?
Yeah, my mate is in the same predicament. So he's a single dad raising his daughters. And I suggested a book called Girl Stuff by Kaz Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She wrote the very popular Up the Duff book as well, too. The pregnancy book. Yeah,
gotcha.
Amazing, amazing resource.
Same author. Yeah. So in that book is explained everything at a what happens to the body during puberty and everything. So, and I think that may be helpful for them to read through together.
Fantastic.
And, you know, if they have any questions, and also build a stash up for her. And that way, you know, you can explain that's what this is, that's what your tampon, that's your pad,
oh, a stash of
liners.
Period products.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gotcha. And that way, if it does happen, she has it in her room ready to go. And, you know, there's no embarrassment, you know.
Yeah.
That may happen
no
if
quick,
you don't have anything there.
No quick rush
there's
to Woolies.
There's a note here. You must have said this to producer Brooke as well, Natalie. There's a note here as well. Get in touch with her friend's mother.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If she's got any close girlfriends,
yeah,
approach
exactly.
them. That's such a common sense
that's
thing to do.
One.
That's a good one. Natalie, that's been you've been full of wisdom on this. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great one.
We'll get some of that stuff through to Simon because
hopefully that's helpful. I think it will be because what amazing resources and ideas and options for Simon to tap into.
And what an amazing human and father you are, Simon. Thank you for writing to us.
Making It Australia started on our TV screens last night and continues tonight. It is the feel-good reality show we all needed at this time of year. And one of the hosts is comedian Harley Breen, who joins us right now. How you going, Harley?
I'm very good, guys. How are you?
Good, Harley. We're pretty good up here in Queensland in general,
yes.
To be honest.
Yeah, my home state, and I'm stuck down here in Victoria, but let's not go on about it.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like this is the show that Victoria, New South Wales, like all the states in lockdown, I feel like this is the show those states have been craving.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Like, we couldn't have planned it better, and I've been spreading the virus around to keep people in lockdown so they'll watch my show.
Too soon, Harley, too soon. tell us a little bit about the show, because I was watching it last night, and the makers are what you're calling the people on the show who are creating craft.
Yes.
I guess artworks. Everything and everyone is so different. How are they even judged? Because, you know, there's a guy over there making woodwork and another one with electrical stuff and then another with felt. How do you judge who's better?
Well, that is the challenge, isn't it? Because anything creative, anything in the arts is subjective, right? Some people will like one thing more than the other. And Susie and I, my co-host, we were talking about it, like, how do we judge this? And I went, well, we'll just outsource the judging. So we've got nothing to do with it. So
Very smart. And
we brought in some absolute star judges. It'll be the first time Australian audiences will see them, but they've got exceptional credits to their names. Ben Jahani is a paper engineer, which that's probably the first time you've heard that. But basically, he made paper planes and turned it into a business.
Wow. Smart. Very smart.
And then Deborah Riley, she's a production designer, right? So she's worked on just little things like The Matrix and Moulin Rouge and was the production designer for a little TV show called Game of Thrones.
Never heard
of
it.
So, you know. Yeah, that's why, well, you know, she's like all artists, she's struggling.
Harley, like you said, you're co-hosting with Susie Youssef. I've been born with two left hands. Like, making anything out of craft is my absolute nightmare. When my daughter asks me, I just say, ugh, ask your mother. But what qualifies you and Susie Youssef to host this show about craft making?
Well, that is a good question, and I would just say, have you heard of the pandemic? We'll just take whatever work we can get. That is not the right answer. The reason that we can host this show together is, one, I'm a genuine passionate maker. I have been since I was a kid.
Really?
I love doing it. I'm sitting in my shed right now looking at all my half-finished projects.
Right.
I love making stuff for my kids. I like making stuff for myself. I just finished something for a friend. I made a bespoke mini caravan for an Italian greyhound. Not a sentence you think you'd hear.
Like, as a kennel.
Yeah, as a kennel, a tiny little caravan.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
It does. What a spoiled greyhound.
What about Susie? Is she pretty useful? Is like, she pretty handsy as well? With craft, well, I mean, handsy with craft.
Susie's very handsy. You heard it here first. Susie, look, she's a bit disparaging on herself about her crafting abilities and sort of makes the joke that she's very good at starting scarves but not finishing them. But what Susie is brilliant at is she's a genuine master improviser and host, and I couldn't have asked for a better co-host for a show like this. She was a joy to work with.
Something I noticed on the show as well was when the the maker is deemed the best out of that challenge, they get a patch. Are we going back to Girl Scouts?
That's exactly right, mate. Everyone loves the patch. And this is the only thing I didn't like about the show. There's two things. One, I wasn't allowed to make anything in that beautiful big barn because I was too busy hosting. And I didn't get a bloody patch. Give me a patch.
Give the guy a patch.
I want a patch.
How do I earn my host patch? Yes. I made a bloody bespoke caravan for a grand, for God's sake.
Give me a patch with a caravan on it.
Get around it. So it started last night. It continues tonight. And, yeah, Wednesdays, Thursdays. It's called Making It Australia, hosted by this guy, Harley Breen and Susie Youssef. Back tonight, 7:30 on 10. Harley, love having you on the show, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me, guys. Have a great morning. The Hit Breakfast Show.